Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Only thing unplugged is Forgotten Seasons.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Forgotten Seasons. This is your host, Dylan Dreyfus. Today, we're doing a championship season, 1994 Rockets with their starting two-man, the infamous Mad Max, Vernon Maxwell. The Rockets started off the season a blistering 15-0, which at the time was an NBA record. They finished the season 58-24, two seed in the West. Of course, the nucleus of that success is Hakeem. Just ridiculous, wins his first and only MVP, wins Defensive Player of the Year for the second straight season. His stat line, a casual 27 points per game, 12 rebounds a game, 3.7 blocks, 1.6 steals, and 3.6 assists. Nobody else in history has put up those numbers. That's just Hakeem for you. There's really not much else to say. Supporting cast around Hakeem, Kenny Smith at the 1, Vern at the 2, Robert Horry at the 3, and Otis Thorpe at the 4. Rookie Sam Cassell and Mario Elie providing a spark off the bench. Playoffs, they get past Portland in round 1 and 4. Round 2 against Phoenix, the defending Western Conference champs, Charles Barkley. Houston goes down 2-0 at home in that series, but miraculously comes back to win that series in 7. Max scores a pivotal 34 points in Game 3. Western Conference Finals, they beat Utah in 5. And then the Finals, they got the gritty, tough, physical Knicks. Houston ends up winning that one in 7. 93-94 is the first Jordan-less year of the 90s. Mike announces his retirement right before the season, sending the sports world into a frenzy. You'll hear Mad Max say what that was like, and also his thoughts on how the Rockets would have matched up against the Bulls in the finals. I think you can guess what Max is thinking. Reminder to drop a rating and a review on the podcast. We are going to jump into it now. Forgotten Seasons with Vernon Maxwell on the 1994 championship-winning Houston Rockets begins right now. Mad Max, Vernon Maxwell, how you doing today, man?
Hey, man, I'm blessed, man. Thanks a lot, man. I'm blessed, man.
So we're getting into it, 94 Houston Rockets. I hate to start with Michael Jordan, but if we're going back to that time, 93-94, the headline of the basketball world and really the sports world as we lead into this season is Michael Jordan announcing his retirement from the game, fresh off a three-peat. You know, you and Jordan always had an interesting relationship, fierce competitors. Do you remember where you were when you heard that news and what your initial reactions were?
I don't know. I think I maybe probably was in a bar or something. I don't know. I think it was somewhere like that. But yeah, it was weird. And I mean, I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was going to happen. But, you know, I thought it was a hoax or something. But, and it did happen. But it was just, I was in a bar somewhere and I thought it was weird that he was retiring. I didn't understand why. I don't know if he was tired. I didn't know what his reasoning was. I don't know what that was. It was just weird.
So sort of going into the brief oral history of the Rockets leading up to this season, you joined the team in 89-90, and there's some consecutive years where you guys fall short. 89-90, first round exit to the Lakers. 90-91, another first round exit to the Lakers. 91-92, you missed the playoffs. And around this time, you know, the star of the team, Hakeem, starts to butt heads a little bit with the front office. Some weird reports going around, allegations from the front office to Hakeem that he was faking an injury, trying to renegotiate his contract. What do you remember from your first 3-4 years in Houston? Was there any frustration growing within the locker room as you guys sort of kept falling short with a solid team?
Well, like you said, in 89, I mean, the Lakers,
yeah,
Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy. I mean, come on now. They had a smoker. We just fell in the wrong spot, mm-hmm, you know, that year, you know. And the next year, once again, fell in the wrong spot again against the Lakers again. So we got some bad draws. You know, I guess we didn't play. And then we figured it out, though. I guess we wasn't playing like we should have been playing. So we fell like the 8th or 7th or something like that. And we had to play one of the better teams in the conference. And we knew we wasn't going to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. So, but then we learned and we built, and they kept the core of our team together. Mm-hmm. And then they brought, you know, Rob and Sam and Mario and, you know, and all those guys like that in there to the team. And then they kept the core, though. Mean Dream, Otis Thorpe, you know, and Kenny Smith had came on, you know, so. And then, so we kind of learned and we built from all those losses when we were, and then we kind of knew what we had to do, like in 93, 94. We knew what we had to do going into it because we already done had all these heartaches, like the two seasons we lost to the Lakers in the first round. And then the 1 year we came back and didn't even make it. And then the next year we knew what we had to do. So that's why we started out so good. I think we went 22-1. Yeah, so, and we knew what we had to do. So in order for us to get one of those top seeds and where we can have home court advantage all the way through. And so we had learned through all those mistakes that we had made from those early years and kept the core together. And then we just built from that and got good. But unfortunately, we had got some real good ball players, Robert Horry,
mm-hmm,
Sam Cassell, and Mario. And other guys too, you know. I hope I didn't forget, but yeah, a lot of other guys too. So, but then and we got good seed, and then we got home court advantage. But they said it wasn't no good. Our championships ain't no good because damn, Mike wasn't there. So, but that's a whole nother story. Shit.
That's a whole nother story. Sort of talking, yeah, about the construction of the team. You mentioned a lot, yeah, of the main guys. It's you, Kenny, Hakeem, Ori, Otis Thorpe, Mario Elie, Rudy T at the helm. For younger fans that weren't there at that time, how would you describe your brand of basketball? What did the leaders of the team preach? What did Coach T preach? How did you guys try and approach your games, your matchups every night?
Well, Rudy T, we never tried to deviate from what we were doing. You know, we don't adjust to nobody. Y'all gonna adjust to us, to what, mm-hmm, we're doing. That's the way he coached, and that's why I liked it. I mean, because we knew what we was going in. We knew what we was going in to do when we were going to play. It was no different adjustments for nobody. I don't care who he is, Michael Jordan. I don't care, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson. We was gonna go out and play the same way we played everybody. So everybody knew their assignments, and it was simple that way. And then he gave you so much freedom, Rudy. You know, whoever gets hot, you know, we all know we're going down the drain. We're gonna milk it. We're gonna milk drain. We're gonna milk him. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to stop him. But then once you do stop him and you got to send a man to double, then we got three guys out there just waiting to knock your damn head off. I mean, ready to just knock your damn head off. I mean, some first shooters was out there. I wasn't a damn first shooter, but I know the other motherfuckers around me, they were some damn first shooters. I wield the damn ball in the basket. I don't know.
Hey, you're selling yourself a little bit short.
Yeah, but I could shoot it, man. Nah, I could shoot it, but we were just way we couldn't. We just was relishing just for a motherfucker to go down there and double team Dream where we can just knock your goddamn head off. So that's what we were. So, but we figured it out, man. But that's what we were trying to do.
Hmm. Yeah, you guys finished first in 3-point makes and attempts. Is that all just the effect of the gravity of Hakeem in the post, or are you guys, is Rudy T sort of preaching shoot the ball from deep during a time where there weren't many teams willingly jacking up threes?
Well, that's what we were built on. You know, we were inside out first. You know what I mean? We're going to go inside the dream. Like I said, and we just make an adjustment. We just make the adjustments. You double dream. And once we got dream willingly wanting to pass out the double team instead of shoot over the double team and stuff like that, that's when we became a better team, you know, when he started doing that. But eventually he finally started doing it, and we became a better team because of the fact that he was throwing it out of double teams. And it was making the game easier for us, and we just find the open guy in the perimeter, making an extra pass or whatever, do whatever it takes and whatever it may be. And a lot of open threes, man. I mean, I was taking them. I was having 10, 11, 12 threes a game. I was just jacking. That's all I was just jacking.
It's fun. It must be fun.
Yeah, man. He preached it, though. He wanted it. I mean, you know, to keep him off the dream, he wanted us to take all those threes. So I was taking a bunch of them.
What was it about Rudy T that made him such an enjoyable coach to play under? I mean, hear yourself talk highly of him, talk to Steve Francis, another guy that played under him. What about Rudy T, you know, made him such a player's coach?
Man, like I said, man, I don't care what day or what night it is. If it's your day or it's your night and you own, you hot, Dream will have to step to the side. He's going to let you go. Rudy T is a player's coach, man. I mean, the coolest dude, man. One of the, besides my high school coach, Rick Swain, Rudy T is one of the best coaches probably I ever played for in my life. I mean, and that's crazy to say because that was my NBA coach, you know what I mean? And, man, I mean, cool as a fan, man. I mean, let you be yourself. Just want you to go out and compete and play hard. And if you do that, and you don't have a problem. I mean, he won't say shit to you. I don't give a damn what you do off the floor, on the floor. He ain't gonna say, just as long as you playing hard and trying to do it the way he asking you to do it, he gonna let you be yourself, man. That's the thing. I know that's what Stevie Francis say about him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Patino Mobley would say the same thing about him. Everybody, man, say about him. Mario, Sam, all of us, man. Kenny, he just let you play and let you be yourself.
Oh, that's great. Shifting right back to Hakeem. This is his first and only MVP season. I think when you go back to the books, I don't think there's a player, maybe since Wilt and the players that played in the Stone Ages, that could fill the stat sheet like Hakeem. I know that it's been, 30 or so years since you played with him and maybe memories fade, but is there one instance, game, memory, performance from Hakeem that sticks out to you?
Just the game when we played against San Antonio in that playoff game, we had David Robinson. When he's seen David Robinson get that championship, that MVP trophy, yeah. after the year he had just got it, and he just went crazy. I mean, that's when we went in there and we beat them, the Spurs. And that was unbelievable. That performance he put on David Robinson there, man. I mean, he had that boy jumping up and down like he was in popcorn. That was crazy as hell what he did to him. All the up and unders and all that shit. Some shit I had never really seen, you know. But I mean, he was really in a different mode that damn. They shouldn't have let that man got that damn trophy for that game because he ate his ass up. That's the one I'm talking about. I remember that one.
I love it. You said popcorn machine. I mean, those highlights you go back today, and shit. It was like shit, barbecue chicken. That's what we
got. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's back there jumping. He's just jumping everywhere. And Dream was just up and under and shit. I'm like, whoa, man, God damn, Dream, chill, man. Chill.
What was your relationship like with Dream? Because I know that you guys had a great relationship, but it also got heated sometimes. I heard the story where he slapped you upside the head one time in the locker room. Well, I think we obviously see the highlights of Dream and know the player that he is, but he's not the guy that's stuck around in the limelight. I don't think people really know too much about, Hakeem, the person outside of the basketball floor.
Yeah, he ain't going to let you into his and this sanctuary when he's off the court. You know, things he's gonna just play, and then he's gonna disappear. Mm-hmm. And you ain't gonna see him until he comes back to the gym. He's not. You ain't gonna see nothing else. You know, but great relationship. I mean, had our differences. I mean, you know, of course, you know, I'm, you know, do some crazy shit. And, you know, and the teammates gonna be, you know, telling me, come on, Max, come on back home now. Goddamn, now this ain't just about you. It's about the name on the front, not the back of the damn jersey. So come on back home, you know. So, but other than that, but me and Dream, we were cool, man. I tried to convert me over to be Muslim.
That didn't work?
I thought about it real seriously, though, because I felt like it was probably could have helped me with my, I mean, they said it calms you and get my demeanor and you know, I mean, so it probably would have helped me. I mean, and I probably wouldn't have, I stayed out a lot of shit like I was in all the time. So
yeah.
I probably should have took a chance and looked at it, but I didn't though. But other than that, but he was a cool guy. I mean, you had to know him to love him, you know what I mean? Because if you didn't, you'd think he was kind of different because he won't say nothing to nobody. He's just totally to himself. But a real cool guy, man. I love Dream, man. I like a big older brother to me, man. I mean, if it wasn't for Dream, I don't think a lot of things that's happening for me right now today and while I was playing wouldn't be happening. So I'm appreciative of him. You know what I mean?
Shout out to Hakeem. Shout out to Hakeem for real.
Yes, sir.
Zooming out, looking at the shooting guard position, obviously Jordan is gone. That's probably the matchup that you looked forward to and sort of circled every year going up against Mike. When he was out of the league, who were the other guys on the wing that, you know, that you just enjoyed competing against?
There's some killers out there, man. Like, shit, John Starks, Mitch Richmond, shit, Drazen Petrovic, God bless you.
God bless him.
Reggie Miller. Oh man, god damn. I mean, I miss the guys, man. I mean shit, Freewell, C. Smith, man. I'm just good god, man. I mean, every night at the shooting guard position when I was playing the league, man, it was not no nights off, man. I mean, literally, it was not no nights off, man. I had to strap up every night at the shooting guard position. And then you gotta understand, I'm 6'4" too now. Mm-hmm. And I was like 190 pounds. And he's, I was on these Reggie Millers and all these boys, Michael Jordan, they 6'7", 6'6". And they, well, Reggie not, but these guys 218 pounds and, you know, 215, 213. I'm 196, 4 more. I mean, so I had to be a little different out there playing at the two guard position when I played, man. That's why I was, you know, I had to play the way I played, because if I wouldn't have, man, I would have got abused.
If you could pick one, two, or three man from that era, omitting Jordan, that you could have played with, who would it have been?
Run TMC. I like the way Run TMC was playing out there. Mm. I like that.
Get Mullen or Mitch Richmond in there?
Yeah. With Hardaway.
Hmm.
And who else? You say without Mike. And you know what? This probably be funny, but with John Stockton and Utah and them.
I was gonna wait until we got to Utah.
Yeah, you're, with Big Mark just... Eaton and them motherfuckers and shit. Carl Malone. I'd enjoyed that shit. Yeah, that right there. And I know that's weird. And then you know they brought Miami Heat team back in the late '80s. So I'd have loved to play in Miami. Shit, you know, goddamn, I'd have loved to do that. So just play with the Miami Order. Just because I'd have been living in mind. So wake up with that shit. We wouldn't love that shit.
You gotta wake up with that shit. No income tax.
Come on, man. No income tax. No, man. Just, oh, man. What the hell? I've been drinking a drink of wine. That shit.
Cheers to that. So going into the season, I mean, you hit on it quickly. You guys start 15-0. That broke the record. I think it was like 1948.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you remember just from that start to the season? You're buzzing and you're just not losing games.
Well, we could tell during the training camp when we went down to this little small-ass gym that Rudy teaches to take us down in Galveston, Texas, out there on the water, on the beach in Galveston. He used to take us to this little small-ass little gym. It's hot as hell, like a damn heat box. And we like I told you, we never deviate. We never, like, change at what we're doing. I mean, we do the same shit year in and year out. So we knew already what we were going to do in training camp. We all, like I told you, we had already been together. The core was there, and it brought those younger guys in, Sam, Mario, and I'm not Mario. He wasn't, Sam and Rob, and then Mario and all those guys. So we already knew what we've been doing this shit so long. We had been together for like 5 years, man. People just don't understand how long the core had been together. So, and then we added those guys, and then we had a great training camp down in the hot-ass little gym. I mean, a great training camp. And then we just came out just beating everybody ass, man. I mean, but we was like a well-oiled machine early. We were playing like we was a mid-season form. I mean, we had been together so long. We already knew what everybody wanted to do, everybody liked to do, what motherfuckers don't like to do, motherfuckers. So we already knew, you know, so, and we know to put your ass at when we, I mean, it was so easy. And then, I didn't believe it that we was winning all over. I was like, well, damn, now we finna lose one of these motherfuckers. God damn. I mean, we just kept winning. And when we went to New York, they was talking shit in New York, you know, talking about, you know, they're not going to win up here. So we went up there and smacked their ass up in New York, you know, and that's when I know. I said, damn, man, we for real. We went up in there and did that. I said, because everybody was anticipating that game, that was going to be a loss for us. But yeah, I knew it was going to be a game that we lost to, a team that we lost to was, you know, and it was damn Atlanta Hawks and shit. You know, Atlanta, like, you get caught up down there, but you know, we spotted motherfucker. We was in them streets in Atlanta night before.
Was Magic City around back then?
Yeah, come on, man. You know that, man. Magic, that's my man. Magic City was around. Yeah, that's my spot. yeah, it was open. So, we just knew it was going to be a special season, man, when we started like that. But we knew it from training camp, the way we jailed together. I mean, so fast. It was just like mid-season form.
So the way the season shakes out, you end up as the 2 seed. If you go down the West, it's Seattle at 1, you at 2, Phoenix at 3, San Antonio at 4, Utah at 5, Golden State at 6. All those teams won 50 or more games. Bloodbath in the West. What do you remember from just those Western Conference battles, and who was the one team that you viewed as the biggest threat in the West?
Seattle. They the ones, the only team we couldn't beat. That's why they were going to the finals, because we couldn't beat Seattle. They matched up so well with us. I mean, it was like a big brother match. I mean, big brother, little brother match. I mean, they matched up so well with us, man. Those guys, man, and we just couldn't beat them. We'd be winning the game the whole game. Just couldn't finish them off, man. We just couldn't beat them, man. We always go to game 7. Just couldn't beat them. And they always have home court advantage. But it was crazy that year, because in the playoff, if you remember, goddamn Denver knocked them off in the first round. Boy, I was celebrating like a motherfucker. I was like, yes, this motherfucker's gone now. That's when I knew. When I seen Denver beat them, I knew we were going to the finals that year. And I said it, I can remember what I was thinking. And I'm gonna tell it, and that's what I was thinking when I saw that shit happen, when Mutombo laid on the ground with that motherfucking ball. And did, I was like, God damn, we're going to the finals. That's what I had said. So yeah.
That was
a blessing for us.
How was competing against GP? I mean, where does he rank in the upper echelon of shit talkers? I know you talked a lot of smack, Garrett, back in your day. Where does GP rank?
Garrett talks some shit, you know. Garrett is a little shit talker, you know. Garrett was a shit talker, you know. shit. He's a shit talker, man. Gary's a shit talker. I ain't gonna say too much more about it, but he was a shit talker.
Shout GP.
Yeah, old GP. He's funny though. He's a funny guy. Yeah.
And going into the playoffs, 2 seed, take care of business in Portland in round one. You have a great series then. Then you got Phoenix, defending Western Conference champs. They got Charles Barkley. You guys go down 2-0, drop the first 2 games at home. Historically, when that happens, you drop the first 2 games of a series at home, you're screwed, right? Season's over. So how do you sort of stay positive? I know you have that legendary game in game 3, dropping 34, but what's that locker room? What's that plane trip like? You're going on the road now, down 2-0. Just take us into the locker room, inside the huddles. Who's saying what? How do you stay positive there?
You know, it was all me. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I'm on the plane. You know, they was calling us Choke City before we left out of Houston. You know, we saw the headline for the paper was going to be next. The next day, they had already let us know it was calling us Choke City. So I was like, damn, they're calling us Choke City. And we heading out here to Phoenix. We got our ass beat. We had two 18-point lead, and we had a 20-point lead in both of those games at home, and we lost both of them damn games. I mean, it was crazy. And then we was flying out there, and everybody was in, you know, just like, it was like a damn funeral. But shit, not with me. I'm on that motherfucker. I'm doing what I always do. Give me a damn beer, baby girl. Let me get something to drink on this motherfucker. You know, and he said, everybody, you know, I think I remember hearing somebody say, man, I got damn getting ready for my damn vacation spot. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. But shit, I wasn't thinking like that. I was being myself, my normal self. And really, wasn't, a lot of people wasn't saying nothing. They were down. A lot of the guys were down, you know, but I said, shit, I'm going to go out there. Like I told everybody, you know what I mean? The team, you know, shit, I'm going to go out. I'm going down shooting. You know what I mean? Fuck it. You know what I mean? We ain't got nothing to lose. But the first half, I don't think I had number like 2 points or something the first half. I was shooting a lot of blanks out there. And then the second half, I just kept saying, I said I was going to go down shooting. And I seen one go in. And then that's what started. I think I had like 32 in the damn second half and lit their ass up. We won that game, turned the series around. Then I said, after that game, I told Dream, all right, now Dream, now shit, here we go, game 4. We got to win one more, goddamn, now I'm going to pass you the key back, huh? Here you go, now we need you, now. Go on, take back over this damn series. And then Dream went to work out that. It was a wrap. And that's how we won that series in there. I don't know who we played in that series. Who we played?
I wonder who.
Goddamn, Utah. Hey, who we played? Utah, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I know it's all over and you've talked about it a lot, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I get the sense that you enjoy talking about your times at Utah when you came out on top. Can you just paint the picture for where your feelings towards Utah come from?
Well, see, these motherfuckers out there. But first of all, I mean, this is weird out there, first of all. I mean, motherfuckers getting married, shit, different wives, all fucking 3, 4, 5 wives. Who does that shit? I mean, goddamn. I mean, I like what I don't like that shit now. Goddamn, I ain't knocking it, but goddamn, who does that? Okay, and then secondly, they're just rednecks out there. They racist, man. They racist. They some racist motherfuckers. I mean, we could just go back. I mean, I ain't just saying this shit because they did me like that. They treated me like shit. Called me nigger. Called me all that by my name, talked about my people they don't even know. And that was fine. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying, we can go back just like recent, like the Ja Morant.
Everyone says it.
I mean, come on, man. Who does? I mean, come on, man. They call that man Mama a B, and a daddy F you, nigga. You know, man. Come on, man. I mean, you know, come on, man. I mean, that tells you right there, man, how classless they are, man. I mean, that's why I'm gonna stay on their dog ass. And another damn thing, I found out today too, and fuck them, because they ain't really giving my man Sam Cassell a fair shot over there with that damn fake ass want to bring in a minority motherfucker just to say I interviewed a black guy. Man, fuck Utah, man. I mean, for real, man. Fall off the earth. That's what you do.
Yeah, you see who they hire? One of Angel's.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on right here? This shit is weird, man. These motherfuckers, man. I'm tired of these motherfuckers, man. It's just getting bad, man. I mean, and then not alone. I mean, shit, they act like there's no coaches around this motherfucker. There's so many other good coaches on these benches, man. I mean, just like this bullshit Michael Jordan just hired over here, man.
Yeah,
this shit is crazy, man.
Hey, Cassell needs a shot. I mean, everywhere he went, he won, and he was a point guard.
Yeah, man. The motherfucking coach, man. I just think, man, he need to break away from Doc Rivers or something. I don't know. I don't know if Doc holding him back or won't, you know, go on and pass the torch and be like, okay, you know, just come out and really say to these motherfuckers, Doc. That's all I'm saying. Hey, okay, my man, my young protege, been with me for 13, 15 years. He ready to be a head coach. He's ready now. It might take for somebody to hear you say that he's ready. He's groomed, he's ready. He's been over here behind me long enough. But shit, I don't know if nobody wants that, you know, but still he's been groomed and he understands how to be a head coach. He knows how to run a team. You know, he knows what to be expected out of being that guy that run these guys. And I know he's not gonna let nobody take over his locker room. I know this motherfucker. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, man. For Sam, yeah, that's my dog, man. I love him to death like my little bruh. And I just think it's his time. But I mean, it's a lot of other guys' time too. I'm not just saying just for him, you know, some other guys too. I'm glad for D Ham, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like that move, you know what I mean? That's a great move. New young blood energy. You know, you got to get some, you stop with this, refurbishing these old ass coaches.
It's a revolving door, is what they say.
Yes, it's just dead. Just try something new. Get one of these young, energetic-ass guys that these guys can relate to, that they will, like, love to play for. You know, these guys are love to play for a guy that played in the league, that they know and they can identify with. Man, you know, a guy love to play for a guy like that, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, you have a great relationship with those guys, man. I don't understand why these people are scared to try these other these guys that done played in the league, done won in the league, done won championship, and then been over here behind a good coach for 15 years. He deserves a chance, man.
I hope Cassell does, and I agree with you. Yeah. Look at the teams that had success this year. I mean, look at the Celtics, new coach.
Right. Yeah. New blood. I mean, new energy. I mean, God, man, you got to try these guys, man. You got to give them a shot, man. I mean, just give him a shot. Just like it's like everybody keep bringing D'Antoni up all the fucking time. This shit is crazy. And the man ain't teaching defense. This shit he doing it. This shit don't work no more. It's just by him. You gotta get. Why I don't understand this shit. And that's why I'm just fucked up. Man. I just don't understand.
No. Hey, you deserve it. I hope Sam Cassell gets his shot. He's one of my favorite players. I think. You look at his resume, he won everywhere he was. Yeah. He was the point guard. Yeah. He was the leader of the team. I think he'll get it. I hope so. I don't know what MJ is doing in Charlotte with Steve Clifford, a 90-year-old man who has never coached a good team in his life. Come on, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
A
90-year-old man.
I know. It's crazy.
This shit is crazy.
Yeah. Real quick, going back – So you come out on top on Utah. That's got to feel good. You go to the finals. You got the Knicks defensive series. You got Pat Ewing, John Starks, Anthony Mason. New York's got some big boys. Series goes seven. It's back and forth. You hit the sort of deciding shot in game seven, sort of put the nail in the coffin. Mm-hmm. What do you remember from that series? What memories, other than holding up that trophy, what sticks with you?
I don't know. That shit was a tough ass series. I mean, it was like two teams identical to each other. You know, one was on the West, one was on the East. The West, they feel like we played fast, and on the East, they felt like they were more bruisers, want to beat you up and play half court, and we want to run on the West. That's what they said about us. But I mean, yeah, when in the NBA in the finals, you got to adjust to either or, and that's what it became. You know, in the playoffs, it's not a up and down. It's like a more of a half court setting, and that's what it was. And we were just beating on each other, man. We won game one. They came back and won game two.
Back and forth. Back and forth the whole series.
Going back and forth, man. It was weird. And then we went up there and won game three. And then they came back and won four and five. And then we was cool, though, with that, because we already knew we had did. You know, we went back and got home court advantage back. That's what we had felt. But we really didn't. In our mind, we did. When we went back and got one of those wins out of those three, because we knew it was going to be tough to get a win up there. You know, going in the Garden and these motherfuckers ain't won a damn championship in since forever.
73.
I mean, good God, man. So, you know, they was, oh, man. And then Houston, shit, we had never won a championship ever and nothing and no sport ever until we won it that year. So we were trying to get one too. So it was it was back and forth and all that shit. But we know we did what we wanted to do, get it back to Houston. And it did get back to Houston. And we knew we had to win just two games. And we knew we could do that. But we knew it was going to be tough, because that was a tough damn New York Knicks team, boy. I mean, we were so similar to each other. I mean, you can go down the line. Derek Harper, Kenny Smith, Vernon Maxwell, John Starr, just alike. Identical player. Robert Horry, Charles Smith. Charles Oakley, Otis Thorpe. Everything is identical. And Lajuan and my man Big Pat. I mean, identical.
And you had the coaches with the slick back hair. Riley,
that's right.
Riley.
I ain't had the damn boys over there. I didn't know that. That's right. I ain't never thought about that. Yeah, we had the damn coaches over there with the slick back hair. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But it was a great series, man. I'd never forget that series, man. I mean, I'm glad we won it, though. I mean, it was just a great series, man. And I was just happy to give the city of Houston the first championship ever, man. And shit, you know, and then baseball to won two since then. So,
nah, there's a day. Hey, I'm a Yankees fan.
They got an Astros by one. When they were beating on the damn garbage can.
Yeah, don't get me started.
I'm a Yankees fan too. I'm Yankee, but I gotta get. Hey, they gave them the trophies. They got the trophies. They got two trophies.
How do they not? I know we're going off topic, but like,
no, that's okay.
So they just cheat and it's cool. Like they, you know, they fire the manager and it's cool. No suspensions for the players. Nothing.
Then,
no.
So fun. Okay. So, well, who was supposed to get it then? If they didn't get it, because they said they cheated. They cheated.
They beat the Yankees in the ALCS.
They did. So. They beat the Yankees in the ALCS. So the Yankees would have went to the World Series against who?
Who'd they play? Was it like
who the Astros beat that year? I forget.
In 17,
it wasn't the Dodgers.
Let me look it up quickly.
Yeah, okay. So that's the damn team should have got it, not the Yankees.
I know, but I don't want a dummy ring for not even playing. I'm just saying it's bullshit.
I agree. They shouldn't have got the ring.
Hey, next time you're in New York, we got to hit a game.
Man, you heard that, Cam. Next time I'm in New York, we got to hit a game. We're going to do it too, man. I want to do it, man. I love to, man. We're going to come this. We're going. That's right. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely. Right. We're going to go.
All right. Hey, let's pick it up after. Coming back real quick, wrapping it up. You guys win game 7 in Houston, put an end to Choke City. It's Clutch City, the first championship, I believe you said, in Houston sports history. Obviously, huge emotions. Next year, it doesn't work out. They bring in Clyde Drexler. Sort of just reflecting back on your end to Houston, which ended in 94, 95. What thoughts did you have then? And would there be any way today that you would have approached it differently? Your end in Houston.
Yeah, I fucked up. I am my last feeling sorry for my damn self, feeling sorry, you know, and I shouldn't have did it. I was getting ready to get paid, man. You know, I mean, a nice damn big, nice contract, like a goddamn $25 million deal. That was big back then. You know, I was getting ready to get paid, man. And all I had to do was sit my ass over there and behind Clyde. You know what I mean? The man didn't play me one game in the first game of the damn Utah series. Then he put me in at the end of the game to try to make the last shot, and I missed. I got them lost. I was, you know, because he never did me like that. And then they didn't tell me that they would bring Clyde in, and they never did communicate with me when I was suspended for those 10 games. And I was just like, well, damn, that's unusual, you know, because I was talking to other guys that had been spent it before, and it was like, nah, team, I'm gonna stay in tune with you, stay, figure out what's to talk to you, make sure you're working out, send somebody to work you out at your gym, you know. And but they didn't do none of that stuff, so I was like, what the hell's going on? That, but then I found out they were bringing in Clyde. They didn't even ask me or say nothing to me, they just did what the hell they want, you know. And after all the shit I had done, I felt like I was like, that was some bullshit, and you know, and but like I keep saying to all these kids, and I keep saying to myself, and I learned that right there and there, then and there, that the shit is not about the name on the back, it's about the name on the front of the fucking jersey. And these kids better recognize that and know that, you know what I mean? It's bigger than me, you know. So, and they did what they felt like they had to do was best for the organization. They brought in Clyde, and I got upset, and I went off, and after the game one, I left before game two, and that was the end of the relationship. And yeah, and that was the end of the Houston saga, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But
I mean, when you think about it, like, you know, they win in 95, but you probably got out at the right time.
Because a lot of shit happened after that.
A lot of shit happened.
And moving and Dream was moved.
Scotty and Barkley.
Yeah, everybody came. There's a lot of weird shit going on. And I was like, yeah, Barkley came in. Scotty came in. Yeah, it was different. It was getting a lot of damaged goods back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I told you sort of off camera before, I think that this is definitely a season that deserves the spotlight. I think the cliche thing, the casual fan thing to say now is, well, Mike wasn't there, doesn't really count.
Right.
Man, I don't know. Kenny Smith on All the Smoke said, no question, y'all would have beaten Jordan's ass, even with him.
Y'all got to look at the numbers don't lie, man. And we was beating the fuck out of them boys, man. We were beating them good. I mean, what, it was 9-2 over, like, at that, what? 4-5 years, we was beating the shit out of them boys.
That would have been fun though. I mean, Hakeem versus Mike.
I would have loved to have been in a 7-game series. I mean, in a 7-game playoff game, series against Mike, where I had to go out there and check his ass for 7. Oh man, I'd love.
I think he might have tried to kill you.
I would try to kill his ass. I know I would. I know he would try to kill me, that motherfucker. He wanted to show me up. Well, I don't, because I just talk shit to this motherfucker. I just do all the shit nobody else wouldn't do this motherfucker. But I'm trying to get, hey, Mike, stop with all that bullshit too, Mike. Hey, I'm trying to get in touch with you, Mike. I'm trying to get with Jumpman, baby. I want to be with Jumpman now. Let's squash all that shit. You know I love you, Mike. Hey, I want to get with Jumpman. I want all that goddamn gear Steven Jackson them be wearing, all that pretty shit. Get me with Jumpman, Mike. Hey. Love you, Mike.
Hey, if it happens from that, I need a few sweatsuits, a few pair of shoes.
I'm gonna hook you up. I got you, Doc.
All right. All right, done deal. Good deal. Mad Max, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
No, appreciate for having me, man. Thanks for having me. Means a lot. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That is a wrap. Forgotten Seasons with Vernon Maxwell on the 94 Rockets. I will catch you next week with a fresh episode. This is your host, Dylan Dreyfus, signing off. Peace.